Blog Talk Radio.
Writing your book is the easy part. Promoting your book so readers can find and purchase it is the hard part. Welcome to the Author Chat Show, hosted by author-publisher Linda D. Brown. Follow us at www.facebook.com/authorchat. And to contact the show to promote your book, contact me at theauthorchatshow@gmail.com. Stay tuned and listen to today's show.
All right. Good afternoon and welcome to the Saturday edition of the Author Chat Show. My guest today is author, and I know I'm going to just destroy his name, but bear with me, Michael Mojowalski. Okay. Now, Michael has a very interesting story. He's been a guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show and other major networks when his first book, Inside Passage, came out. He was also voted, are you ready for this, Cosmopolitan Magazine Bachelor of the Year, okay? We're going to be right back to chat with Mike about his book, his wonderful accomplishments, right after a word from today's sponsor.
PrimeStar Publicity and Public Relations is a full-service firm ready to fill the needs of their clients. Owner Helen Cook has more than 32 years of publicity, public relations, advertising, and marketing experience, and she focuses her professional talents on working with her clients' strengths to create customized, strategic campaigns, whether their needs are great or small. Radio, TV, print, internet, publicity, marketing, creating a social media presence, branding, client positioning, author tours, speaking events. These are just some of the services PrimeStar provides for their clients. For a complete list of services and other information about the company, please visit our website, www.primestarpublicity.com, or email Helen at helen.cook@primestarpublicity.com, or phone 903-654-0938. PrimeStar's home office is located in the Houston, Texas area.
All right, welcome back to the show. For those of you just tuning in, my guest today is author Michael Mojowalski, and I just know I did not pronounce that correctly. Now, Michael has a very interesting story. So for those of you that are authors, first book, second book, I highly recommend that you grab a notepad and a pencil, take some notes. You're not going to believe what happened with this guy's first book. Michael's first book was called Inside Passage. And we're going to also be chatting with him about his second book, Wildlife, The Misadventures of a Cosmo Bachelor. So that should give you some indication as to where this interview is going. Michael, welcome to the show.
Linda, thank you so much for having me on. I'm honored.
Oh, we're honored to have you on the show, Michael. Very, very interesting story. One of those that I think each and every one of us as authors would love to say that happened to me. Before we dive into what happened with your first book, let's get started, since this is your first time on the show, with you telling us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. My father was a professional football player with the Cleveland Browns back in the day, and he didn't make, you know, the millions of dollars that they do today, but he played for the love of the game. So, and you pronounce the name, the last name, right on. So there's quite a name recognition, you know, with Big Mo and Little Mo. There were these two brothers that played in the NFL. My uncle played for 14 years for the New York Giants. So, you know, and being New York, being the media capital of the world, quite a few people, you know, remember the name, which really came in handy at the beginning of my career and right on through with an older generation recognizing the last name. So sometimes it's good not for an author to change their name or shorten it if there's any kind of recognition factor. So I'm glad I didn't Americanize it or chop it in half or change my name to Morgan, like, you know, White Toast or something like that. You know, I'm glad I kept it. It's a little hard to say. But, you know, like I say, the older generation, they certainly recognize it, which comes in handy because one of my gigs is I spend 5 months on a cruise ship in Alaska as a naturalist and a guest speaker. And I give PowerPoint shows on the wildlife, the natives, all of that. And then I sign and sell tons of books. And I think the movement now as an author is back of the room sales, is hand selling books. People love to have a signed book, take a picture with the author. Mm-hmm. So that summer gig is just tremendous. And a lot of people that do cruise are of an older generation who see that last name. And, you know, a lot of times they buy the book, they don't care about the author, but they remember his father.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mike, I'm a huge sports fan. And believe it or not, you know, probably saw your dad and uncle play. You know, because like I said, I grew up, I just met Jamal Wilkins from the L.A. Lakers, and I remembered watching him, believe it or not, and this will show my age a little bit, watching him play for Coach John Wooden and the UCLA Bruins back in the day. And so I bet you there's a very good possibility that I've seen your uncle and your dad play, so that's awesome.
Right, and, you know, my dad's my hero because as we were kids growing up in Cleveland, he would come home, and he was such a positive force. And, you know, he was born in a little coal mining town. His dad, my grandfather, came from Poland as an immigrant. And, you know, my dad got his ticket out of the coal mines, not having to work there, as his father did, by becoming an athlete. And he literally went to the White House and met the president. So, you know, Thomas Jefferson had a great line. He said that my father was a farmer so that I could be a businessman so that my son could be a poet. So it kind of happened in our family where within three generations that progression was able to take place. But my dad was so positive, and he'd always say to us kids, the only four-letter word I don't want to hear in this house is can't. You can do anything in life if you put your mind to it and work hard enough.
Absolutely. Wow, that's amazing. That is the exact same thing I told my son growing up. The only thing you cannot tell me is that you can't do anything. At least try. Try it before you come and say, I can't do it. Exactly, right. So, Michael, how long have you been writing?
Well, I've been writing since probably I was like 4 years old. My mom said she would peek into my bedroom and I would tear pictures out of magazines. Maybe it was an advertisement for life insurance or whatever. But I would write these imaginary conversations, you know, from what I had seen visually. And then, you know, in high school paper, I sold my first story. I got very, very lucky. I was a sophomore in college, and I sold a story to Sports Illustrated and about my father being a pro football athlete. And I wrote it from the POV or point of view of a little boy seeing his dad on television and not understanding why 11 men were trying to beat the snot out of him. And I got, you know, it was so funny, Linda, because I'm, you know, going to a college English class, and the dean of English, his secretary, comes and knocks on the door, interrupts the class, and says, Michael Wojcicki here? And I go, yes. And I thought, uh-oh, bad news. I'm going to get kicked out of school for some reason. And she goes, you have a phone call from New York City, Sports Illustrated. The editor wants to talk to you. Because I had forgotten to put my phone number in with a manuscript that I had mailed out. And, I mean, you know, it never happens that way. The first thing you write, and it wasn't agented or anything, no agent representing it. I sent it to Sports Illustrated as a fluke, and they bought it. Big check came from Time Life. And not that it was ever that easy, you know, outgoing. But I said, this is fun. You know, getting letters from people all over the world and, you know, to be able to communicate and create something, you know, through your mind from life experience. I was hooked from that point on.
Awesome, awesome. Now, tell us how you ended up in Alaska, Michael.
Well, you know, it's really funny. My mom read me to sleep every single night when I was that boy growing up in Cleveland, Ohio. So here I had my dad, the positive force, the athlete, showing sort of the macho male side. And then my mother, thank goodness, she gave me the sense of story and put the love of language into my ear. Each night as I was falling asleep, she read me King Arthur, Grimm's Fairy Tales, Ivanhoe, like all the timeless world classics of literature. And one night she picked up a book by Jack London called The Call of the Wild. And you know what the funny thing was, is my mom said that even when my eyes were closed and I was sleeping, she kept reading. And it's been proven if you want to learn a language, you let the tape recorder run all night. Because I think even though we're asleep, our subconscious is like the pilot light of an oven. It never goes out. It's never asleep. And we do absorb what's around us, even subliminally. So for some reason, here I am in an industrial city, but the story of wilderness, Alaska, it resonated with me. Because from that point on, I was in search of recreating those experiences directly in my own life. And it actually happened and came true.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. You're right.
And, you know, there's no accidents in life.
Exactly. And imagine how
wonderful. Because how do you get from Cleveland, Ohio, to that wilderness, to that island? Well, I really believe there's angels on earth. They might not have wings on their backs, but people come into our lives and they introduce us to a spouse. They connect us to a job. They sort of act as emissaries. And this was as random as possible, but was it really random? Was it an accident? I'm living in Aspen, Colorado, being a ski bum, and I graduated from journalism school, Indiana University. I thought I'd take a year off and just ski and bop around the mountains. And they have, Aspen's great in the summertime because they have a lot of cultural experiences, music festivals, and they have this famous international design conference every summer where designers of anything, be it clothes, cars, whatever, come into Aspen to share their secrets. So there were about 1,000 attendees from all over the world. And they announced the first day at lunch, okay, guys, we're going to take a break. All of you go out into this mountain meadow, and we're going to watch hang gliders come off the top of Ajax Mountain, and they're going to land at your feet. So there's 1,000 people spinning around like tops, watching these human kites twirl down through the sky. And I bumped into a back. But why wasn't I standing 12 inches to the left or 18 inches to the right? I bumped into the back of a French-Canadian who lived in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And she was an architect. And we fell in love, and she sent me a letter a day after the conference saying, come up and visit. I had never been west of Colorado, hitchhiked over to L.A., all the way up the West Coast, spent 2 weeks on her sailboat sailing north up the Inside Passage to Alaska. And, Linda, this is the most beautiful place in the world. You've got 15,000-foot mountains coming right out of the ocean, sapphire blue glaciers, dropping ice as big as your house into the ocean, killer whales that scorch your boat, grizzly bears pull salmon out of the streams. It's just a natural paradise. And it was Jack London country. And through Genevieve, I met a man the very last night I was to go back to Colorado. The phone rang. It was a man who owned a wilderness island 200 miles north of Vancouver and about 100 years back in time. So she was the emissary, the conduit, that introduced me to my future and my first book and my whole life. But an accidental meeting, literally bumping into somebody's back, that was a total life changer.
Wow. And Michael, so when did you decide to write? Your first book was called Inside Passage, Living with Bald Eagles, Killer Whales, and what type of Indian?
Kwakiutl. It's a hard one to
Thank
say,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Tell us how that came about.
Well, before I went to live up there, I was a freelance writer when I came out of college, and I would just hustle pieces for newspapers and the LA Times would send me to Africa to cover something. And, you know, I would starve to death. I would live on peanut butter and ramen, top ramen noodles, you know, because the pay was okay, but sometimes the assignments from all of these different publications, there would be, you know, many weeks of not having an assignment in between the assignments you did get. So mm-hmm. I got to a point where I was looking to write my first book, something that I could put, you know, my heart and soul into rather than just my mind. And be careful what you ask for, you just might get it. And at that point in my life, I met Genevieve, I bumped into her back, ended up on this island. And I mean, every day you lived a year. It just, I was so in over my head too. Before I went up there to live, primarily alone on this wilderness island, studying killer whales. And, you know, I had a bear up that lived in a cave up at the top of the hill, cougars. I mean, it was life or death. And Alaska is a great place. It seduces you with beauty, but it'll try to kill you in the next moment if you're not prepared. Mm-hmm. So it was literally life and death, you know, each day. If you made one slip, you fall into the ocean, you got 10 to 20 minutes to live. It's so cold, the water. But it just accelerated my growth as a human being because we have all this untapped knowledge and power within us that's sort of never tested, never used. In a push-button society where everything's so easy. And William James, one of my favorite writers and a great psychologist, once wrote that we as human beings lead lives inferior to ourselves. We only live a tiny part of the colossal life that we've been given. So I wanted to tap into that unlived life, the powers that we have. And it just accelerated my growth. I took notes. Wrote letters to people at home. They saved them all. And when I, you know, was ready to write the book, I pretty much had a first draft. And what's great about writing letters or emails today is that you catch the immediacy of the experience. Or if you keep a daily journal, then you don't have to rely on memory so much because you're putting it down on paper or on your screen, you know, within a few hours of the actual acts that happened. So, you know, here I am on this island. I write a book. And again, sometimes ignorance is bliss as an author. Not knowing the process of how things get published, I had heard of a publisher in New York City, one of the biggest in the world, called HarperCollins. And I think HarperCollins has been around for over 100 years. Mm-hmm. So I mailed it to them out of the wilderness. You know, I gave it to a passing native guy that was going to the post office like a week later, a fishing boat, you know. And here's this, you know, half handwritten manuscript. I didn't obey any of the rules as far as formatting or whatever. And no agent. And it went into the slush pile. And, okay. You know, for any first time authors, if you send your manuscript in without an agent, unrepresented, it goes into this mountain. It must be as tall as Mount Everest at these publishing houses. Called the slush pile, and nobody ever reads it because it has to come in through the proper channels. Mm-hmm. Well, again, another one of these fluky things, I have a Polish last name, Polish on my dad's side, Italian on my mother's. One of the editors is taking a lunch break. He walks by the slush pile. He is Polish descent himself. He sees this long Polish last name ending in SKI sticking out of the bottom of the mountain of unsolicited manuscripts. And he goes, all right, I'm going to eat my sandwich for half an hour at my desk, and I'm looking for something to read. So he started reading it, represented the book, and pushed it through for publication. So, again, you know, it just doesn't happen that way.
Right. Now, Mike, at that point, do you know if he recognized your dad or your uncle's name?
He didn't. He wasn't a sports fan.
Okay.
So but he was so encouraging about the writing. And the editing surprised me because he edited the manuscript himself rather than handing it off to somebody to line edit it. And he kept wanting more. Instead of making cuts of 80, 90 pages or shrinking the manuscript down by a third, which often happens because a lot of people overwrite. Especially on a computer. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing that a computer, you can type so fast you can get ahead of your mind, really.
Yeah,
a lot of people overwrite today with technology.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept coming back to me and saying, I want more of you here.
I want to know what that wave felt like, or, you know, the bear pushing down your door. Or so the book actually grew a bit because of the edits. So editing always doesn't have to be cuts. It can be additions if
exactly.
things need to be fleshed out more, you know.
Right. Okay, now we're getting to the good part of Mike's book. Okay, so Mike, when you wrote the book, at that time, according to your bio, you had no female companionship. You were a sworn bachelor at that time, correct?
Oh, Linda, I was howling like a wolf. I was so lonely. And I had wolves on the island that I'm living on.
Oh.
And, you know, the full moon would come out, and I don't know, you know how the nurses often tell me that emergency rooms are flooded during the full moon. I used to think that was
right.
a fallacy, but the full moon, it tugs on us as it tugs on the tides. I mean, people can
exactly.
get a little crazy. And, I mean, the full moon was just this huge white, orange, red, sometimes balloon, because the clarity up there in the air, you know, would be like rising out of the ocean, and you could read the newspaper by the lunar light. It was so clear because there's no ground light or city lights to compete. So I'd be out there on the beach, and the wolves would be behind me in the woods, and we would just all be howling together, you know. Their music was to celebrate the nightlight, and I wouldn't even call it music. My howling was just because I wanted to share it with somebody.
Absolutely.
You know, there were so many moments up there that were so beautiful. Northern lights, just the daily beauty that, the loneliness wasn't out of despair or depression. It was out of want of another human being, preferably female,
mm-hmm.
you know, that
exactly.
you could wrap your arms around and you both could just jump up and down with glee and joy to share the magic there.
Exactly.
So I went from famine to feast.
Okay, now we're down to about 8 minutes, so let me ask you this, because this is the good part. This is the part I want every author to really pay attention to. How in the world, with a book titled Inside Passage, Living with Bald Eagles, Killer Whales, and the Indians, did you end up in Cosmopolitan Magazine, which is a magazine I've read since high school, strictly for women, and then he was chosen as Bachelor of the Month? How in the world did that happen?
Well, I'm still wondering today, and a lot of it was the picture, because it is such a visually oriented society today. And a friend of mine, and often these bachelors are not so much found by editors at Cosmo, but believe it or not, they are nominated by mothers, coworkers, you know, people that happen to know a guy. And a friend of mine sent a letter in listing my, you know, few attributes. But
mm-hmm.
I think the picture is what did it, because it was the picture from the dust jacket of my first book, Inside Passage. And here I am in a red parka with my arm around a husky sled dog in Alaska who has its harness on, because we were dog mushing. And everybody loves dogs or animals. And here's
mm-hmm.
this dog. This is the call of the wild. This is Jack London's wolf dog that he wrote about. It was so funny how this picture sort of put me on the map and changed my life. And it was the fulfillment of the story that my mother read to me when I was like 6 years old in Cleveland, Ohio. So I have my arm around the wolf dog, because the husky dogs are 50% wolf blood. But
okay.
instead of growling, howling, snarling, the dog is kissing my cheek.
Oh.
And in fact,
aww.
Helen Gurley Brown, who took Cosmopolitan when it was a no magazine, it was barely, you know, it was half bankrupt.
Exactly.
And
mm-hmm.
Helen Gurley Brown came along and she grew that magazine. Cosmo is now in 100 countries, is translated in 87 languages, is the number one selling women's magazine of the world, primarily because of one woman, her editorial taste and steerage was HGB,
mm-hmm.
Helen Gurley Brown. And I later met Helen Gurley Brown with my wife, who wrote to me, and that, you know, but that's maybe the happy ending to the story. And when I met Helen Gurley Brown and introduced Paula to her, she said, Michael, that picture, she said, none of us could resist it. And all the editors at Cosmo said, you know, this guy might not be a millionaire banker with his cowboy boot up on his Ferrari, but we placed bets that you were going to break the record for receiving the most letters from the Cosmo girls. because what that picture emanated was romance, adventure. And it's she was so right, because a lot of the letters were come and whisk me out of my small town, Topeka, Kansas, or wherever, with your dog team, like, you know, Santa and his reindeer or whatever, and let's fly away into the sky together. You know, it's kind of like, and then I got to tell you, the weirdest thing when people ask me, what was the weirdest date or whatever, is one day I'm living in San Francisco going through the mail and all of that, and the phone rings. It's a collect call on a Sunday night. It's from a prisoner in incarcerated in Florida. And the operator goes, will you accept the charges? And being a writer, curiosity, I go, sure. And the prisoner is going, oh, you probably don't want to talk to me because, you know, I'm incarcerated. And I go, you know what? Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And I said, by the way, you know, what are you in for? And then she said, third-degree murder.
Oh, God.
But she said, Michael, I have to tell you, I get out in a few months and I need a boyfriend bad. And I'm going, wait a minute, you can't make this up. This is crazy. But she said, I must tell you, I was walking to the exercise yard the other day. They let us out like 1 hour a day to exercise. And it's an all-female prison. And as I'm walking down the corridor, I'm looking into every cell left and right, and somebody ran your picture in Cosmo off on a copier. And you're on just about every girl's wall here. And she said, it gets so hot and humid in this jail in Florida, sometimes it rains inside the prison. The water, like, drips off the ceiling. And here you are in the snow with a sled dog kissing you. You're like this fantasy figure to us, you know? And there's never in a million years a writer's imagination could make up, like, all of these different, varied situations with women writing and all of that. So that was one of the
craziest. Okay, so then you ended up on the Oprah Winfrey Show. How in the world did that happen, Michael?
Well, you know, I had a whole bunch of mailbags when I came back from the island and, you know, the Cosmo letters. And Linda, it was so funny because the mothers of the Cosmo girls must be reading those romance, gothic romance novels. Because none of the girls had names like Mary, Sue, or Jane. They were all Mandy, Samantha, you know, like just these total off-the-wall romance novel names.
Right.
And hearts dotted every I, and the handwritten letters were in purple and pink ink. I mean, as passionate as you could get, every I was dotted with a heart, you know, and all the cologne, or perfume rather, cologne being for a guy, but perfume coming off that mail. Obsession was clashing with, you know, it just was like every man's
Calvin Klein. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness. It just was. Absolutely. But anyway, I dated my way down through the mailbags, and there was a letter. And in fact, Oprah said, Michael, how do you pick one woman, like, out of 5,000 letters? And, you know, Linda, I hope this fairy tale has gotten ripped up and it's never read again to girls ever. And it's that fairy tale of Rapunzel, of the woman being helpless in a tower, waiting for a man to come by and save her. Or rescue her from not having a life. Hogwash, you know, it's a whole different world now. And I get this letter, and what it is, there's no naked pictures, there's none of the hustle that I, you know, got with a lot of the mail. It was a resume of success from one of the most impressive souls I had ever encountered. And when I read her letter, the picture was kind of far away, sunglasses on, fully clothed. But it just was her energy and what she had accomplished in life. And in between the lines, she was saying to me, hey, buddy, I really don't need you. If you want strength meeting strength, you call me up. Because a lot of men want to dominate a woman. And I had been in those kind of relationships where I was going to save somebody from their bad health. And there's an imbalance. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad always told me, if you want to learn how to play tennis, don't play with somebody you beat all the time. Play with somebody that runs your butt. All over that court.
Exactly.
And Paula was intimidating. And when we met, fell in love instantly and absolutely best friends, easy as breathing. So something I didn't even want to do. I resisted it because I thought Cosmopolitan was silly. I wanted to be taken serious as a first-time author, a scientist, all that. But, man, it gave me a life partner. It gave me just so much.
That is
so
awesome.
Even pay attention, yeah. Authors out there, if opportunities come your way for publicizing and it might seem silly or, you know, away from your message or whatever, it's like think about doing it. Because life can work in strange ways.
Absolutely. Again, okay, so we've got two books that we're promoting for Michael today. The first book is his book, Inside Passage, Living with Bald Eagles, Killer Whales, and the Indians. I'll just do it that way so I won't rupture the name. But then the second book you guys have got to download and get a copy of is called Wild Life. And it's basically about the things that you went through because of the first book, correct?
Right. And, you know, my literary agent at the time, he said, dude, Sigmund Freud once asked what do women really want. Well, you're
right.
In this dream situation. You can actually find out. So take notes.
Absolutely.
And then he came up with the title. He said, why don't you study the women you're about to date like you studied the wildlife in Alaska, use the scientific method, leave your emotion. Well, all of that went out the window on the first date. I mean, we can't figure you guys out. I mean, that's the joy of it, the mystery of it. But anyway, wildlife is two separate words, and it means animals, you know, which we all are biologically. We're still in the animal world. So it's wildlife, but it's also the life being wild, which it certainly was.
Wow.
I love titles that have double meaning. And, you know, Inside Passage also, it describes a geographical area, 1,000 miles from Puget Sound, Washington, all the way up to Glacier Bay, Alaska, this 1,000-mile corridor. But it was also the inside passage into the soul as well.
Exactly.
So I love those double meaning titles, you know.
Exactly. Michael, you have been a marvelous guest. I can honestly listen to you for another hour. Unfortunately, our time is up for today. I'm speechless. I'm just absolutely speechless. I'm like you. I'm a true believer that God definitely has angels down here on earth to assist us in getting us where he wants us to be. And I think that's exactly what happened with your book. And being able to share this time with you, listening to your story, hearing through your voice, your passion for what you're doing, it could have happened to a better guy. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. We truly wish you the best. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story with us. It's mind-boggling.
Linda, I thank you so much. This is one of the best shows and conversations I've had because a lot of times it gets stuck on the superficial. But what I love about you and your questions and your guidance is that we were able to go much deeper onto those levels of connection and how things work, you know, and I just live for that.
Absolutely. Well, one thing, I was talking to a friend of mine at work yesterday, and he said something that's very meaningful, and I just thank God that I was doing that. He said, Linda, I read books, especially nonfiction books, from authors that I get to know. I hear about the authors. I'm not really that concerned about what they're writing, but once I hear their story, that makes me want to read their book. And that's what I try to do here. A lot of us are unknown, so I want to put you in a platform so that way we can get to know you because that is what will make us want to purchase your book. And you've done a tremendous job.
Well, you do a great showcase. You provide a great platform,
thank you.
And I would encourage every author to have a conversation with Linda D. Brown, because you have a special gift. You can really bring out the inner qualities, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Can't wait to chat with you next time. Are you currently working on a new book, Michael?
Yeah, I'm working on a new book, and we're pushing wildlife maybe to happen as a TV series or a movie.
Oh, great.
So, we may need a podcaster in there that's you know, asking him some pointed questions. That would be fun.
Wonderful. Listen, believe it or not, Michael, I'm in the process of editing this book. I actually have one of my books on this website where producers and directors are looking for content, looking for material. I'm going to send that information to you, okay? I want you to log on to this website.
That.
Absolutely. If you need any help, you just let me know. And when that next book is ready, you contact me so we'll get you back on the show, okay?
Linda, thank you so much, and I appreciate it. I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, hey, it was our pleasure. Absolutely. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, Michael.
You have a great day and a great weekend, and thanks again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. That was author Michael, I'm going to try it again, Modzelewski, okay? Modzelewski. First name, Michael. You heard his story. It's awesome. I encourage each and every one of you to go out there and get his book. Again, the title of the first book that actually garnered all the attention for him was called, I got it right here, Inside Passage, Living with Bald Eagles, Killer Whales, and the Kwalti Indians, and that's Kwakiult. That book is the one that got with the book cover jacket, the picture of him with the Alaskan sled dog or the Alaskan husky, is what got him nominated from Cosmopolitan magazine as Bachelor of the Year, and then also Man of the Year for Alaskan Men magazine. Then he ended up on the Oprah Winfrey Show. So we don't even have to tell you how his book sales took off, right? The book that we were chatting with him again with today is called Wild, W-I-L-D, Life, The Misadventures of a Cosmo Bachelor. Because now this book tells you about all the crazy things and the great things that happened, the tons of publicity that he got from the first book. So I highly recommend that you log on to Amazon.com and purchase both books because you definitely want both books. You have to get both books. I do believe it's available and could be available in the Kindle. Unfortunately, I don't have that information in front of me. But this was a great show, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. As Michael says, if you are an author and you're looking for publicity for your book, feel free to drop me an email at the Author Chat Show. I'll be more than happy to try to get you scheduled. I do have to tell you, the weekend show is pretty much booked up to now February of 2016. And since I do have a full-time job, I work evenings. So I do have some, believe it or not, I did have the Wednesday morning. I opened that show back up. It got so busy that I also have to do, I also opened up a Tuesday morning slot. So I do have some slots available for Tuesday and Wednesday mornings from 10 to 10:30 Central Standard Time. And then the weekend show airs from 4 to 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. So, again, drop me a line if you're interested in coming on the show. Again, the email address is theauthorchatshow@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. We have our own Facebook page. So Author Chat, facebook.com/Author Chat Show. Well, that's our show for today. It was great. For those of you that are taking your kids out trick-or-treating, or we do have some young authors, if you're going out trick-or-treating, be safe. We look forward to seeing you back here next week on the Author Chat Show. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Goodbye.